You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to My Vagina. This is Jesse Karen.
And this is Rebecca Frank.
And here we are again, having our current hysterical, and infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched. Just kidding, fools. It's definitely researched. First of all, before we get started, please, everyone, remember to donate to us on glow.fm/welcomemyvagina. The reason we keep going is because of people like you. And if you donate money to us, we can give you more things.
Also, a big thank you to all of our new listeners and the people who have been leaving us reviews. It really, really, really helps to shoot us up in all the findings and stuff. So rate us, review us, share with your friends.
Yeah. Give us attention.
Yeah. We thrive off of it.
We thrive off of it. So today we are going to talk about Title IX. And before that, we're going to talk about what, Rebecca?
Sports.
And why are we talking about sports?
Because although Title IX is not only about sports, which we learned recently, it did actually help a lot with sports.
Mm-hmm.
So if we, yeah, like if we look at...
Especially for the females.
Because there has to be equal spending in sports programs for male and female athletes.
If you've noticed, Megan Rapinoe. Rapinoe.
Yeah.
Fighting for equal pay.
Right.
Considering that they're better team.
Yeah.
Infuriating.
So, yeah, that's because of Title IX that they're basing that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes beyond equal pay to be like, you know, equal access to facilities and training and all this kind of stuff. But it's what allows women to start playing sports earlier. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're so competitive on the international stage, specifically in women's athletics, because our girls start playing sports earlier.
Yeah.
That's why we dominate.
Because of Title IX.
Because of Title IX.
There's no more calisthenics, which apparently was the thing that we were...
Yeah.
One of the two options that we had.
Yeah. And it was only passed in 1972.
Yep.
Which wasn't that long ago. So, like, I don't know how old all of you guys are, but probably your moms were in school before...
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, before Title IX went into effect.
That's crazy.
Ask them about their gym classes.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, what classes they were able to take.
And then tell us about it. I want to know.
Yeah,
that's
send
crazy.
Send us an email. welcometomyvagina@gmail.com. We want to hear your mom's stories.
Yeah, like, what if men were playing baseball and women could only hula hoop?
I mean, that sounds kind of fun.
It does sound fun.
I would so much
I was just...
That being said, though, I'd like the option to play baseball
exactly.
And say no. Thank you, Title IX.
Specially designed bicycles with various kinds of handlebars have been scientifically conceived to exercise the waist and keep it supple.
Title IX is federal law that prohibits gender discrimination in education. So it bans all discrimination on the basis of sex and gender.
So what it reads is, no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So if the government gives money to a school for activities in or after school,
mm-hmm.
they have to be given to men and women.
Right. And I feel like we've been hearing about a lot about Title IX a lot in relation to college campuses and female sports teams and equal funding. As we said in the intro, I actually didn't know this, but apparently it's been out in the world, but the MRA suing the university over women only scholarships like Yale and USC, who had programs exclusively for women.
Will you tell our listeners what the MRA is?
Oh my God, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, the MRA is men's rights activists.
One time I wrote a blog post about men's rights activists and like their higher ups sent me all of these emails and comments. And I was like, nobody reads this. Like first literally of all, nobody reads my blog.
Except for the men's rights activists. Except they the find everything. And when you said higher ups, all I could think of was men cloaked in like these giant hoods.
Yeah.
In the basement of like some.
It was so crazy. I couldn't believe it. God. I was reading this shit and I was like, give me a fucking break.
No, they find everything.
They find everything.
I get no attention until I write something about incels or men's rights activists. And then they're all over the place. It's like they don't leave their computer.
Yeah, they must have Google Alerts set up for all that shit.
Yeah.
It's really.
Like hashtagged out. They're all just. Or like somebody's always like they're always like say Lou has to stay on the computer. Like they only have always have one guy who has to pay attention. Like, hey, Lou, we're going out for some tacos. Make sure those fucking women don't write anything crazy.
Right? Meanwhile, this is going to be our most listened to episode ever.
Okay.
So wait,
Title IX.
So they're suing Yale for doing a scholarship or something for women?
I don't know when it happened. I was listening to Unladylike and they said it and I didn't look too much into it, but I was like, oh, wow, that's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
Of all of the programs that men have all to themselves.
I know. The scope of Title IX is actually really, really big. So as we said, any institution that receives federal money from the education department. So that includes state and local educational agencies. And they include something like 16,500 local school districts, 7,000 post-secondary institutions, charter schools, for-profit schools, libraries, and museums.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me. I didn't know at all that it had to do with K through 12, but it also relates to sexual harassment, violence, and discrimination in K through 12 schools in a really big way. And K through 12 outnumbers college students like 3 to 1.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of college students in public schools outweighs college students, but we only hear about it in terms of college, which is insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's largely, as you mentioned before, that it's come into general conversation because of the changes in the way Title IX is used in college by the Obama administration mm-hmm. and then again by the Trump administration insofar as institutions respond to accusations of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so much bigger than that. And in fact, when we're talking about bathroom laws, that's also Title IX, is that people are able...
Discrimination.
It's sex-based discrimination and harassment. So Title IX would allow for, in theory, I would imagine, if I'm wrong, please send us an email. Yeah, would protect people to use the bathroom that reflects their gender expression.
Absolutely. Because otherwise it's discrimination.
Right.
But a lot of school districts and the federal government wish they didn't have to deal with Title IX at all. And a lot of people, and not to say that like that it's always some insidious thing. I think in a lot of ways our society also doesn't want to look at our children and think that they're being violated or discriminated in any sort of way.
Right.
Like shining a light in those areas has always been just a thing that we don't fucking do. You know, it's another reason why we don't teach sex education. And it's also why we're not giving people the tools to acknowledge what harassment is, why it's wrong, and how to like take the proper channels. Like, do you know that New York City has one Title IX coordinator?
I did not know
for
that.
For all of the public schools, there is only one Title IX coordinator, and it's not their like only official job.
Wow.
But for all the schools, they only have one person.
So in New York City public school system is the largest in the United States. Mm-hmm. There are 1.1 million students who are taught in more than 1,700 public schools with a budget of nearly $25 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That 1.1 million to one.
Yeah.
So just because, you know, Title IX exists as a thing doesn't mean that it always... that people get heard.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, teachers are already juggling enough with the little funding that we already give them.
Right.
And so, like, a lot of this stuff kind of just gets swept under the rug. I mean, sometimes because people don't want to deal with it, but also sometimes because people literally don't even have time to notice it.
Yeah.
That it's happening.
Absolutely. One of the rules under Title IX is that a recipient of Education Department funds cannot retaliate against any individual or individuals for opposing an unlawful educational practice or policy. So if you are to make a Title IX complaint, you cannot be retaliated against in any way by the institution about which you are complaining.
And yet they are.
And yet they are, because everybody, if you haven't listened yet to our interview with Donna Freitas from last episode, some of the fear that she had about making this Title IX complaint mm-hmm. was about what impact it would have on her career.
Yeah.
So that's just a thing to keep in mind. If ever you're in a position to make a Title IX complaint, just make sure you know what your rights are, mm-hmm. because you are protected.
Yeah. So
when was it passed?
Where did it come from?
Where did it come from?
It came from women who were fed up with sexist rejection, man. That's where it came from. Yeah. So like before Title IX, female college students were barred from like stereotypical male majors like criminal justice.
Medicine.
Yep. And they also had curfews, apparently, that they couldn't stay out past midnight in colleges.
It also affected professors on college campuses, mm-hmm. who didn't get fair pay and oftentimes weren't offered tenure positions that their male colleagues got.
Yeah, and 90% of them were male.
Right.
Around the 60s, this woman, Bernice Resnick-Sandler, a.k.a. Bunny, a.k.a. the godmother of Title IX, who just died last year.
Oh, R.I.P. Bunny.
R.I.P. Bunny. She'd gotten turned down from a faculty job that she should have gotten hands down, but was told that she came on too strong for a woman.
We're still hearing that today.
Yeah, we're still hearing that fun little thing. But she started researching how schools were getting away with this super blatant sexism. And what she found was that educational institutions could absolutely discriminate based on sex in hiring. And if you were a federal contractor, like if your organization got money from the federal government, like you said earlier, it was totally illegal. So she teamed up with Representative Edith Green
from Oregon
and Patsy Mink. She was a representative of Hawaii.
Wow.
And Patsy Mink was rejected by a dozen medical schools because they had absolutely no interest in training female doctors. And that's probably why she got into politics.
Yeah. So it was passed ultimately on June 23rd, 1972, mm-hmm. With the express purpose that, quote, no educational opportunity is denied to women on the basis of sex, and that women are granted equal opportunity to aspire, achieve, participate in, and contribute to society based on their individual talents and capacities. So it was signed into law under Richard Nixon and was sponsored by Birch Evans Bayh Jr., who is the Democratic senator from Indiana, with Edith Green, who is a Democratic representative from Oregon, who, as we mentioned, also sponsored the Equal Pay Act of 1963.
Hmm.
So she was busy.
Busy girl. Yeah, obviously it took a long time to actually take effect because obviously it was highly objected from the NCAA and college coaches who were afraid that men's sports would go bankrupt, which, big surprise.
They didn't. They didn't.
They did not.
Yeah.
So I'm super interested because, again, had no idea how important it was to high schools. So Holly Knox came in the 1970s. Inspired by these awesome women, quit her government job and founded the Project PEER, Project on Equal Education Rights, and really kind of enforced the fight for Title IX in K through 12.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So PEER was grassroots activism that was used like plain language to help parents and teachers understand, which would be awesome because I feel like nobody fucking knows what Title IX actually means and how sex stereotypes were embedded in the student textbooks in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the thing about the way that documents and things are written is that I think this about like bank lending. I think that people are intentionally misled, and so people think that they don't have the rights that they actually have or don't understand things because it's intentionally done that way.
Yeah.
Because it's a headache to have to litigate shit in court.
Yeah. And apparently it's a headache to not discriminate against our children.
Yeah. I mean, we're still fighting these battles today, you know?
So I learned a lot of this information on Unladylike podcast. So I definitely want to put that out there. But this is one of my favorite things that they said, which was that in 1978, they handed out silver snail awards that highlighted who was dragging their feet on Title IX.
That's awesome.
Which is so like the Razzies.
Uh-huh.
It's so cool. But that's like school board members, superintendents, presidents, like if they were like dragging their feet, they would get
like
a
snail of shame.
So yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So it's great because it's there's been some really, really amazing impacts of Title IX. So according to the Justice Department, by around 2009, 87% of women had at least a high school education and 28% had a high school degree. Or college degree, up from 59% having a high school education, 8% having a college degree back in 1970.
Wow.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And women now have higher graduation rates and lower high school dropout rates than their male counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
They earn more advanced degrees. Female participation in both high school and college athletics have risen dramatically. There's a sharp rise in workforce participation among women, increased wages, better overall health, access to healthcare. So, I mean, it's really, there's some really great stuff.
Yeah. Billy King.
Yeah.
1973, Billy King played against Bobby Riggs in what they called the Battle of the Sexes. She defeated Riggs in three straight sets, 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. It was obviously a publicity stunt, but it also really boosted the credibility of women's participation in major sports.
Yeah.
And that's has a lot to do with Title IX.
Yeah, it really does.
It really boosted women in athletics.
Because it allowed them to get training, and also they had to be, they had to be included. She paved the way for, you know, looking today, Serena Williams. Takes that one person, just like Serena Williams has really paved the way for Black women in tennis.
Yeah.
She made the impossible, the seemingly impossible, possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Title IX, I think, has really been like a buoy to a lot of women in sports and in academics.
So, yeah, it's been done a really great thing in terms of paving the way for sports. And I think what's happening now is that there's been so much like legal back and forth that it hasn't necessarily trickled down to K-12 schools in terms of discrimination and harassment. And there is actually Girls for Gender Equity. Is an organization which is committed to physical, psychological, social, and economic development of girls and women. And what they're trying to do is kind of push Title IX even further. They kind of noted that by 2015, every state had laws on the books requiring schools to establish clear anti-bullying policies and complaint procedures. And that comes from like lower level local people and communities actually learning about what these programs are. And so they're not pushing Title IX because, like, why can't we just do that with sexual harassment, with anti-bullying, right? We know where to go, who to talk to, and how to report it. But with sexual harassment and discrimination, there's not only shame, but there's also literally just not something, like, there's no steps. And it feels like you should know what they are, but in high school, you really don't. Like, how many times have the two of us sitting here, how many times have you been harassed in high school? Like, I could sit here and go over it and over it.
Yeah, I have no idea who I would have gone to in high school. Like, I knew where to go when I had issues with a teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the other stuff, like, I want to say that the administration took a lot more time policing what women wore to class than they did making us aware of the steps to take if we were harassed by people.
Yeah.
So I got a hard time for wearing spaghetti strap tank tops because it was distracting, quote unquote, to the boys in class. But if the boys in class, you know, acted on any of their impulses, I was basically left on my own. Like, you just deal with it.
I had a vice principal who constantly pulled me aside to check and make sure that my fingertips touched the end of my skirt.
Probably just because you're tall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But sexual harassment is an unfortunate part of the school day for way too many students.
Yeah.
According to the latest research on American Association of University Women, 56% of girls in 7th through 12th grade said they'd experienced some form of sexual harassment during the previous school year. That includes verbal, physical, but also, in today's day, revenge porn.
Yeah. Revenge porn is really fucking awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what brought Katie Hill down.
Yeah.
We'll tell our listeners what revenge porn is, just in case they don't know. You know, people use their phones for all kinds of things. And a lot of times you take pictures of yourself, you send them to someone that you're seeing or someone that you want to see, whatever. They can save it. And then if something happens, like if you break up with them or you guys get in a fight or whatever, they then threaten to or actually distribute those images.
Yeah.
And it's really not cool.
It's beyond not cool. It is. That's heinous.
It's really bad. And because we live in a society that loves to shame women, a lot of times the women are blamed for having these pictures of themselves.
Yeah, having
in the
taken
first
those
place.
Pictures. And you should be able to take as many fucking mm-hmm. pictures. You should be able to take pictures of yourself naked. You should be able to take pictures of yourself doing whatever you want. And if you're with somebody that you're supposed to trust, they should never, ever, ever do anything with those. It should be deleted post breakup.
Yeah, exactly. That's just really fucked.
Yeah, and I told you that story, remember?
This is a great story.
Have we told this yet?
I don't think so. But if you have told it, it should be told again.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk about it. I think it counts as revenge porn.
Yes.
So back when I was in college, I was sleeping around with this guy for a few months. He was a film major, and we were at his house. There was a big party, and we went upstairs to go have sex. And he actually had brought my friend and started trying to get us into a threesome. My friend was like, I'm not into this. I'm out. So the two of us started hooking up and we had sex. We fell asleep for a little bit, woke up, went back down to the party. I came back up like an hour later. He had four other men sitting in the room and they were watching a tape that I didn't know.
Because did you consent to having your sex
videotaped? I did not consent to. And if I had, which I don't remember doing because I was blackout.
Yeah.
So like,
even if you said okay, it still
even if I
count
said okay, it doesn't fucking count because I was so drunk that I can barely remember anything. Like I know I went upstairs with him. I know we were making out. I barely remember having actual sex with him. And then I kind of vaguely remember like going down to the party and then coming back up and seeing and like, you know, when like something traumatic happens, you kind of start to like come back in, your adrenaline pumps and you kind of like are like, oh my God. And so I like saw these people watching me have sex on tape.
So fucked. But then what happened?
His house burned down a few years later, which was amazing.
And was the tape inside?
The tape was inside. So like what happened was I went after that, I went to the cops. I tried to report it. They pretty much laughed in my face, which was great. And so I went to his house in like a fury because I knew a lot of the people who lived in the house. It was a skater house. Blech. And so I like tried to like root around and find it, but he had 1,000 fucking tapes. I asked him for it and he refused to give it to me, which is also, by the way, not okay.
Not
if
okay.
If somebody does choose to have a sex tape with you and they ask for it to be destroyed, that
destroy
is
it.
What should happen. You should fucking destroy it. That is the right answer. And so he refused and, you know, we fought back and forth. And then a few years later, he texted me and said, you got your wish. My house burned down and the tape was inside.
It's so great. It's so great.
Nobody was hurt, but
yeah, sometimes the universe gives you exactly what you want.
Oh,
you know,
that was a great day.
We got a new sponsor and Jessie is really excited about it.
I'm so excited.
She's verklempt, in
I'm
fact.
Verklempt.
So Valentine's Day is coming up. And guess what?
Our new sponsor is Ballsy.
It's Ballsy.
And if you're like me, you know people who have balls. And you know what people who have balls really want for Valentine's Day?
Ball wash.
They also want Nut Rub. It's a solid cologne for keeping your boys below and full body smelling fresh. Comes in 6 fragrances, guys. 6 fragrances.
It's
Sex Spray. So it's a portable deodorizing spray. Great for freshening up on the go. You got it, guys? You're on your way to the gym. You pick up your sack spray. You put it in your bag and you spray it on.
We talk a lot about women's healthcare and wellness here on Welcome to My Vagina. But
balls
today,
matter too.
Balls matter too. Just go to ballwash.com for 20% off your first purchase. Just enter welcome20 at checkout.
Have you ever been teabagged by somebody with smelly nuts?
If so, send them this coupon code. Welcome20 at ballsy.com.
Go balls deep on this deal. I want them to sponsor us forever. Anyway, sorry, back to Title IX.
Yeah. Since we discussed how it's been in like more mainstream conversation because of college campuses, I thought we could talk about that for a momentito.
Yeah.
So there was an Obama era rule that basically allowed the lowest standard of proof to be used in evidence called preponderance of evidence, as opposed to like overwhelming evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the Obama era guidelines for the most part sided with the victim. And the backlash of that was a number of articles that I saw. Oftentimes they were framed as mothers of accused male students saying basically like, my kid would never do this, blah, 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 blah. This is when I think the idea of due process really entered like mainstream lexicon.
Yeah.
Was basically when everyone was like, well, what about his rights? Which, you know, of course, men also should have equal rights.
Yeah, everyone should. We just don't.
Right. So there's been like a little bit of a shuffle here. So since DeVos, who's the unqualified head of the Department of Education, who basically just has a fucking shit ton of money and wants to open a bunch of charter schools and fuck all education requirements, changed a lot of these things, a couple of which have been considered okay, a couple of which have been considered terrible. So one of the things was that now schools can choose whether to rely on preponderance of evidence or clear and convincing evidence. Mm-hmm. But they have to, the idea is that if they use preponderance of evidence in sexual assault cases, they have to use it for all cases.
Okay.
They can't just pick and choose. I don't know whether that actually has, you know, bore out the way that they wanted it to. But she also limited a school's responsibility and liability to investigate incidents that take place on campus or at school-sponsored events. Mm. So basically she's saying, you know, the school has only limited responsibility if a sexual assault happens on campus or at a school-sponsored event or in off-campus housing. And she gave the accused the right to appoint representatives to cross-examine the accuser.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's awful.
She's a silver snail.
She is a silver snail.
No, she's a back. She's like a moonwalking silver snail.
Yeah, she's going backwards, but she's not nearly as cool. That's she would true. Never be able to moonwalk. I understand. I don't.
I don't. No, you don't.
I got
because
rid of
it doesn't make any sense.
I just
she's protecting the elite.
Yeah, she is protecting the elite, and also like you know, one of the avenues that schools are using is called a no contact directive mm-hmm. or an NCD. Which means that the accused cannot initiate contact with the accuser, but it doesn't actually hinder their movement on campus in any way.
No, of course not.
So like women who have been sexually assaulted or raped, they have to pass these people in the hallway. They have to share, you know, they might have their locker. They might be in class together. They might have friends in common.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, and what the Title IX legislation, what all of this, what these new guidelines and things don't do is that they don't, it doesn't look at the big picture in terms of what the effects of being assaulted are mm-hmm. in a bigger sense. It's yeah. outside of just that moment. It's outside of that incident. It's
well, we talked to Donna Freitas about it.
Exactly.
And it affected her entire life.
Yeah, still to this day.
To this day.
But a girl with any real spirit will throw herself wholeheartedly into the battle of the bulges. And for her, there are gymnasiums. Our gyms are different. If you don't mind a mauling, you don't have to work. The machines do everything. They beat you and knead you and pummel you and shake you. You just have to be able to take it.
Hey, Kate, what's up? Hi.
Hi, Jesse. Hi. How's it going?
I'm doing great.
You all remember Kate, right?
me, producer Kate. That's me.
She's going to tell us a story about Title IX. Here.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I was on the soccer team and I was at a new high school my senior year in a rural area. And so they didn't have a lot of funding. It was in High Springs, Florida. You can look them up. I don't care. Anyway, they didn't have a lot of funding for their team. So what they would do is the parents would organize what they called booster clubs. And the booster clubs would help payments for bus rides, uniforms, anything. And they would also sell concessions at games. And they did this for football, for baseball, for all of it. Well, I was sent home by the soccer football or the sorry, I was sent home by the soccer booster club with a bunch of chocolate to sell to pay for my uniform because supposedly the school couldn't pay for it. So being a somewhat lazy high schooler, I, of course, did not sell that chocolate. Probably ate some of it, if we're being honest, and just figured it would be fine because I didn't understand consequences at the time. And then my coach was like, oh, okay, did you sell all the stuff? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, well, you owe us, I think, $250 or something like that.
Because that's a lot of chocolate.
Yeah, that's right. How much it was a big old case of chocolate. I didn't eat all of it. Okay, I still had it. And I was like, hey, can I give it back? And he was like, no, you signed a contract.
Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every kid got the same box of chocolate?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I also just didn't tell my mom because I was like, this doesn't matter. And also I'm like trying to focus on school and it's just yeah. a lot to put on like a 17-year-old kid. So then I'm like, oh, mom, we owe the soccer team $250 for my uniform. My mom was like, no, we absolutely do not. You go to a public school. We owe that school nothing. I pay my taxes. So she ended up looking into it and found out that the boys' soccer team had uniforms and a bunch of other things that were, in fact, already paid for. Mm-hmm. And they claimed to be were being paid for by the booster club. So she was like, okay, what is this booster club nonsense? This is discriminatory. Like, you can't have a private club that's raising a bunch of money for the boys' team and not for the girls team. Like, that's terrible, and it violates Title IX, as yeah. you've talked about. So She ended up like going down to the city clerk, because in this tiny town with 3,000 people, and getting a bunch of Xerox copies of the registered like finances for the sports teams for the last 5 years, including like the booster club additions, and found out that someone involved in the booster club, I think one of the moms, was having an affair with the baseball coach or the assistant baseball coach, and they were embezzling like $20,000 a year.
Oh my God.
Or something. It's like Real crazy. Housewives.
Drama.
People got fired. Drama ensued. Oh. It was written about in the Alachua Sun.
And all then, because of a box of chocolate.
And then, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, what ended up happening because of all the drama was, I think the boys' booster club got involved. I don't know. I was trying to pay attention to, like, you know, high school stuff going on.
Yeah.
And but I did get a brand new uniform with my name monogrammed on it and a gym bag. Everyone else got one too. And I didn't have to pay for that chocolate.
Title IX.
Title IX.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate, for that fabulous story.
Looking for more queer magic in your life? Check out Queers Next Door, the new podcast by Megan Ashley and Sex Coach Lee. Available wherever fine podcasts are shot into space and back into your ears. We chat about sex, dating, entertainment, and self-care, and invite other fabulous queers to share who they are and what they're passionate about. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Queers Next Door. Cheers, queers.
Thanks for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
You can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
On Twitter at Welcome to My Vag. Soon to be on Medium.
You can donate to us at Patreon, LiberaPay, PayPal, and Venmo at Welcome to My Vagina.
Yeah, become a monthly subscriber.
Yeah. Yeah, go to welcomemyvagina.com and become a subscriber to our newsletter as well.
You can email us at welcomemyvagina@gmail.com.
We like questions and fan art and jingles.
And suggestions for future episodes.
True.
Check out Jessie's awesome videos on YouTube. Just search for Welcome to My Vagina.
Check out Rebecca's awesome writing at franklyrebecca.com.
Please also remember that our amazing intro song was done by Wooly Willy. Please check him out on Instagram and pay him money to make you an amazing jingle. You can find him at Wooly Willy. WOOLLYWILLIE.
And head on over to morebanana.com to check out all of the awesome projects by our production company.
Yeah.
And thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate, for being our amazing, dope-ass fucking producer.
Cool.